if you are like me, then you like soccer, you're interested in the World Cup, but with no U.S. team in there, you're trying to navigate your way. And I thought, as a public service to us all, we would bring in Frank Isola from the New York Daily News, and Frank would provide a primer on how to enjoy and watch the World Cup over the next month. Hey, Frank, how are you?
Gloria, what's up? It kind of stinks without the U.S. in it, doesn't it?
You know, it really does. Actually, before we get going, I did want to ask you, is for a more casual fan, how did this happen? Why did this happen that the U.S. team, you know, here we have the World Cup, the biggest sporting event in the world, and we don't have an American team, a U.S. team in it, a men's team in it. How did that happen?
Yeah, because we didn't qualify from the region.
Well, that part I know. Sorry. I know we didn't qualify, but I mean, how is there such a breakdown that it gets to the point that the U.S. team doesn't even qualify?
Yeah, it's really bad. They really fell apart because the last game that they played, they went to Trinidad and Tobago, and all they had to do was tie. You know, it's funny, when you go to like a place like Trinidad and Tobago, the field conditions aren't great. The grass is like a little bit long. You're playing in kind of like a funky stadium. It's hot. Like, people, even though the teams that in the region that the U.S. play in, except for maybe Mexico and Costa Rica, aren't that great, it's not that easy to win on the road. It's like in any sport when they talk about going on the road, even going to a place like Trinidad and Tobago, it ended up being pretty tough for them. But it's funny, though. Like, it's the same thing. You know, it's Jeff Van Gundy's coaching the U.S. national team in qualifying for the Basketball World Cup. They used to call it the World Championships. Now they changed the name to the FIBA World Cup, give a little continuity, I think, with soccer. But they're also, you know, they're in a bit of a struggle to qualify, believe it or not, because they're using, like, G League players. So they might have an excuse. People aren't going to be happy if they don't make it. But for the U.S. not to make it in soccer, that was a tough one. And the fallout was pretty dramatic. You know, a lot of people lost their jobs because of it.
You would think that there would have to be changes. I know it's not our number one sport by any stretch here in this country, but on a global level, for there to be such a major event like this, and we're sitting out. And if you're Fox and you paid all these, you know, gazillions of dollars for the television rights, and now you don't have a U.S. team, obviously that deals them a massive blow.
Yeah, now, it definitely doesn't. When I mean to interrupt you.
No, it's okay.
But, you know, you play those three games in your group, and if you go back to 4 years ago, you know, even the most casual fan, when the U.S. was playing, people were getting into it. And I remember the day, because, you know, 4 years ago in Brazil, they qualified for the knockout stage. And, you know, during the week, they were playing Belgium. And I remember being in the city that day. And there, and back then, because the game was in, the tournament was in Brazil, the games were coming on at a great time, like 6 o'clock at night.
Yep, I remember that, too.
East.
Yep.
And during the day, you know, just walking around New York City, I could not believe how many people were wearing, you know, the red, white, and blue with the jerseys. And people really got it. That's what makes it fun. It's a lot like the Olympics. You know, even the casual fan, they might not follow the women's hockey team, but, you know, during the Olympics you do, and the figure skating, all that other stuff.
Yeah, you're right. I don't follow figure skating all year round. Every 4 years, suddenly.
You become an expert at it.
Right. I'm talking triple toe loops as if I know what I'm talking about. And I remember, you're right, about 4 years ago, part of it is when U.S. is in the tournament. I remember 4 years ago, there was the issue with the Zika virus, and people were concerned about going down there. And even with that, if I recall correctly, there were guys like LeBron James who were heading down and watching it. It was a really big deal, and here we are sitting out now. But, all right. So let's turn the page and say, you know, World Cup is happening now. It's happening without the U.S. Personally, I've decided, and this makes me, I know, kind of a little bit of a front runner, but my only experience of this sort of quality of soccer, I was in Barcelona a few years ago, saw Lionel Messi play, scored a hat trick. So I have decided that, that makes me an Argentina fan. But for a more casual fan, I wanted to frame it for you this way. For the fan who, let's say, is a Yankees fan, and they want to root for a front-running team that's like a favorite. who should a Yankee front-running type of fan that wants to feel good that they got to, and actually, after this weekend, I'm not sure, you know, Germany might have been your team, but after today, maybe not so much. Who's a team, if you're like a front-running fan, who should people be rooting for?
Yeah, I think, you know, the evil empire, and I think most people would know it would be, you know, one of four teams, you know, Brazil, Germany, Argentina and Spain would be one of those four. But I would probably pick Brazil and Germany, even though Germany didn't play well today. They looked a little out of it. But, you know, they'll still, if they win their next two games, they'll get through to the next round. They have a lot of experience. The Yankees are either Brazil or Germany right now, the way that both of those teams have played really over the last 20 years.
Germany, yeah, the defending World Cup champion. Talking to Frank Isola about the World Cup. All right, so now if it's a casual soccer fan and they want to tune into the World Cup, but somebody who is interested in an underdog type of team, but somebody who they might be a long shot, but they have a shot.
Well, you know, Iceland is a pretty interesting team. The other day they tied Argentina. You mentioned Messi, and he had a chance to get in the lead, and the goalkeeper of Iceland made a great save. You know, and Iceland did really well 2 years ago at the Euro. It's the first time they've ever been in the World Cup. They were losing to Argentina. They tied it up. They got the great fans. They had an unbelievable stat about Iceland, which will make it even more depressing considering the U.S. isn't in it. They said the population is as many people as Honolulu, and the landmass of Iceland is about the size of Maine. So think about that. And they qualify from Europe, which is a lot harder to do because, you know, there's better teams in Europe. So I would say Iceland would be one. But also, you know, Mexico, even though Mexico is a big-time soccer country, I think they said it's the last five or six World Cups they haven't made it out of the round of 16, including back in 2002 when the U.S. beat them, and the U.S. made it to the quarterfinals that year before losing to Germany. But, you know, Mexico, you know, because of the rivalry that the U.S. has with them politically and non-politically. But, you know, the coach of the team, Juan Carlos Osorio, used to coach the Red Bulls here in New York. He used to live in New York. He went to college up in Connecticut. So he's kind of, you know, educated here in the U.S. He's got a lot of ties to this area. And Mexico played really well today. It would be kind of fun if they made it. I kept trying to think, like, what if the president got into it? Maybe he was watching, like, Mexico on Telemundo with Andres Cantor during the game and screaming. It was pretty
cool.
They put on a good show. It would be fun if they went pretty far.
All right. So, personally, this is where I am an expert in that I actually have been to Iceland. Little known fact, yes, I've actually been to Iceland, so I can back up what you are saying.
I heard it's expensive there, the food and all that stuff, because a lot of it has to be imported, I guess.
You know what? I mean, if you want to catch some fish, it's obviously an island nation, and they have, you know, they certainly can grow their, you know, they have livestock, and so there's certain things they have to import, but there actually are a lot of natural resources that they can call into, and believe it or not, in Reykjavik, you know, like a lot of places that maybe don't have a reputation for great food, it's not fair because a lot of the chefs went off to the local chefs, went off to Paris, got trained, and now there's some great restaurants in Reykjavik.
And I think a lot more people from the U.S. are traveling over there. You know, it's funny, the one thing about, you know, you mentioned going to Barcelona, it's interesting, the international soccer players have a big connection with the NBA players. You know, LeBron is involved with Liverpool, and he's very much into the sport. Obviously, Kobe Bryant is kind of connected in a lot of ways with Barcelona. Some of that has to do with Nike. Kobe grew up in
Italy right?
for a while, so he played.
Jelly Bean, you know, right?
Carmelo Anthony owned the team in Puerto Rico. So the players, I think for the NBA players, besides the fact that they like the sport, and I think they see some similarities with the movement, you know, moving without the ball and things like that, I think they also kind of like the fact how big of, you know, they become big stars internationally. So a guy like LeBron can kind of identify with Ronaldo and Messi, just like the global appeal that those guys have. And by the same token, like Gerard Piqué, who's the defender for Spain, plays for Barcelona. He was at the Knicks game on Christmas Day with his girlfriend Shakira, which was pretty nice. And Antoine Griezmann is a big player from France. He came over last year. His favorite player, believe it or not, is Derrick Rose. He actually has a court in his house where he had the middle of the court painted as the Bulls logo because he was a huge fan of Derrick Rose. Obviously, it wasn't a Knicks logo. He's not a big fan of Derrick Rose's 1 year with the Knicks. It was with the Bulls. But a ton of the big stars in Europe are huge NBA fans, and you see them a lot of times at games. Even during the NBA Finals, you'll see a couple of them pop up, fly over to watch the games.
All right, so you mentioned Ronaldo, you mentioned Messi, some of the great players. So again, for a more casual American fan, who is, you know, call it the Mike Trout of global soccer, who's the best player in your opinion in the game?
Well, I would say it's Ronaldo, but like some guys to watch, you know, the poor guy Mo Salah of Egypt was the leading scorer in the English Premier League this year. He was the player of the year. Then he got hurt in the Champions League final. He didn't play in Egypt's first game. He's supposed to play in their next game against Russia. He's an unbelievable player, very likable. And then the guy that plays for Belgium, Kevin De Bruyne is his name. He kind of looks like Prince Harry a little bit. He actually scored against the U.S. 4 years ago when Belgium knocked out the U.S. He and Mo Salah were the two best players in the English Premier League. Kevin De Bruyne plays for Manchester City, and Belgium is a terrific team. It's kind of like the golden generation for them. So we see it with all these, you know, sports teams over here where it's kind of their time. And if you don't do it now, you might not do it for a while.
Yep.
So Belgium, even though nobody really talks about them a lot, they have a ton of, all their starting 11 play for big time teams. So they could be a team that surprised. So I would tell people to look out, you know, for the big names, obviously, but Mo Salah and Kevin De Bruyne.
So if this were Belgium and the Daily News, we'd be seeing a stories about how their window is closing and Belgium needs to capitalize, because that's what we'd say.
It's true. And, you know, in soccer, they call it kind of like the golden generation.
Uh-huh.
And for Belgium, it's kind of right now. Other teams have had it. What we need in the U.S. is to finally get a golden generation for U.S. players. So maybe that'll come within the next 8 years.
All right, Belgium, Le Génération d'Or. How about that?
Good.
Throwing down some French.
All right, so
historical perspective. I admit I woke up this morning, and part of why I wanted to talk to you was I did actually get excited. I tuned in Mexico versus Germany, and I like an upset and an underdog, so I'm rooting for Mexico the whole time there. But for people who don't follow the sport as much, how big of an upset was it, and what kind of ramifications does it have, if any, for the rest of the tournament?
Well, it really sets up Mexico pretty well. Now, for Germany, if Mexico wins their next two games, they'll win the group. And, you know, the two teams from each group advance to the next round, the round of 16.
Right.
So if you get Germany, they would be a second-place team. So in the next round, they would play a first-place team. So if there's some first-place team out there, who knows who that could be? I don't know how the bracket matches up, but a first-place team for another group now could be in a position where they might have to play Germany. But that was a great win for Mexico. It was an exciting game. That's the funny thing about the sport. You know, I always tell people it's 2 hours start to finish. You know, you could actually plan your day around a game because it's 45 minutes, the 15-minute intermission, then 45 minutes, and then that's the game. And yeah, are there some games that are boring? Absolutely. There are some games that are exciting, but here's the thing, it's only going to be 2 hours. Like the NBA Finals, game one of the NBA Finals was an unbelievably exciting game. Game four, not so much. So it's like every sport. You know, some games are just become duds for whatever reason, but today, you know, a couple of those games were good. The Brazil game was very good, was exciting, and obviously the Mexican game was terrific, and it ended up being a huge upset.
How'd you fall in love with the beautiful game of soccer?
I don't know. You know, maybe where I grew up, a lot of people played it. To me, and I still think that basketball and soccer, lacrosse is like this hockey. There's still a lot of similarities between all the sports. It's really, you know, passing, you know, moving without the ball. And I think, too, for a lot of people who have played soccer growing up, look at, like, Jason Kidd, Tony Parker, Cal Ripken talked about playing it as a kid as well. I think it helps, even if you know, guys go into other sports. Steve Nash was like this too. I think it really helps you. I think too, as you get older and you understand, like, you just can't deal with. I like the NFL. The games are just too damn long. The same thing with college football. I really enjoy that. But these 4-hour college football games. So in terms of, you know, Harvey Aaron from the New York Times had a good line. He once said, you know, they used to say that soccer wasn't a good television sport. It's actually the best television sport now because it's 45 minutes break, 45 minutes. It's not like watching stuff like it. You know, the NBA with all these timeouts and the reviews, and it's just there are times when it goes on too much. With soccer, you know it's going to be a 2-hour deal, good or bad or great, and today you got two great games.
All right, I only have 60 seconds left, so give me your prediction. NBA draft coming up this week. What name are the New York Knicks going to call?
I'll tell you what, if they get lucky, Michael Porter Jr. would be pretty good if he'd last that long. But something tells me, with all this stuff that came out, he must have a guarantee from somebody in the top five. So, you know, Mikal Bridges could be around. Trae Young is pretty intriguing. Could they take him if he falls? I think that's a possibility. To me, the two most intriguing names in the draft are Michael Porter, because he only played 53 minutes for Missouri, and then Trae Young, who was the biggest name in college basketball. But you just wonder with his size, you know, could he be Steph Curry? That might be a bit of a reach. But also there might be some teams in a guard-dominated league that think, you know what, if we pass up on this guy and he becomes a big-time scorer, we might regret it. So I would say at this point, I'll say either Mikal Bridges, Wendell Carter, or Trae Young. One of those three.
All right. Frank Isola from the New York Daily News. Always appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon. Thanks so much.
The world traveler, Lori Rubinson. Good to hear from you.
All right.